that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, Sweetland Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. So I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, to open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your number. Here's what we're going to do tonight, because I obviously missed all of last week. So we're going to get caught up on just about anything and everything with the Red Sox and Major League Baseball. I have a few thoughts of things that took place over the weekend. David Price's return to the mound yesterday in Tampa. Alex Speer of the Globe had an interesting item on Rafael Devers today on bostonglobe.com. There was also the Cleveland Indians clinching the American League Central, which I want to get to a little later in the program. But first, let me begin by telling you, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. Again, 617-779-0985. I was out last week, as many of you know, because we lost my mother about 9 days ago. So that was, or actually 8 days ago, September 10th. At our home here in the Boston area, we were all there. So I'm going to defer commentary on that because I want to share some thoughts with everybody in just a little bit. I don't want to start right out of the gate with that. It's, but I will get to it, I promise, because many of you reached out via email. The showing here at the Sports Hub was absolutely tremendous, so I want to get to that. But I know many of you want to talk baseball, you're baseball fans, and we're at that time of year where the games should matter more than they ever do. Unfortunately, this year in Major League Baseball, the division races are garbage. Absolute, complete garbage, with the exception of the American League East, which is still up for grabs. So from a baseball perspective, and I'm going to ask Marshall Hook, who is here for Jim Murray tonight, and we ask Jimmy Stewart this right out of the gate, and I ask you, the Red Sox fan and our listeners, how do you feel about your team right now? Okay, and again, it's a very sort of generic way to open the program. It was a long week on many levels. But it's a way for us to sort of get acclimated again, and that's where I want to begin. Okay, how do you feel about your baseball team right now, Marshall Hook?
I feel the same way about them today as I did last week and last month, which is they seem in prime position to win the division. It seems as though they'll have, I mean, yes, it's only three games, but it's been 3 to 5 games for, I feel like, 6 weeks to 2 months now. So they seem to be pretty much holding the same record as the Yankees, which means they'll end up being the probably winning the division. And then I have roughly zero faith in them doing anything once they're into the postseason. So pretty much a pretty good ride to the postseason, and then when you take that rotation and you squeeze it down and you guarantee that they're playing good teams, and you take that lineup and you put it up against good playoff-quality pitching, I have no confidence that they'll be able to do anything and could very easily be a first-round exit.
Jimmy Stewart, how are you feeling about the Red Sox at the moment?
I don't feel good about them at all long-term. Like, they'll be in the playoffs, neat, and then they're probably going to get swept by Houston or Cleveland, whoever it is that they face in the first round.
Okay, so now the way it looks right now, it'll be Houston, although that is still fluid. And remember, the Red Sox play the Astros on the final week of the season. So a series that everyone thought there might be completely meaningless might not be. Cleveland might have home field to play for, not that the Astros are going to gamble that by sending their best pitchers out there and jeopardizing their postseason rotation. Houston's not going to do that. But the games aren't completely meaningless for Houston. Meanwhile, tonight, the Red Sox play in Baltimore against the Orioles. Did I get that right? The game's in Baltimore,
yep.
Right?
And they've had your number all year long.
Okay, and the Yankees are at home, I believe, against the Minnesota Twins, if I remember that right. And the Twins are the team immediately behind the Yankees in the wild card play-in game. So this series with the Twins and the Yankees could very well be a preview of the play-in game that will take place in a couple of weeks.
And the pitching matchup in both the Red Sox and Yankees games, I think, favors the opposition.
Okay, so tonight at Fenway, Marshall, why don't you tell everyone what those matchups are?
So tonight down in Baltimore, it's going to be Dylan Bundy, a 13-game winner, up against Doug Fister, Down at the stadium in New York, it's going to be Irvin Santana, who alternates good years with bad. This is one of his good years, 15-7, a 3.35 ERA against Jaime Garcia, who I don't think has done much of anything good since joining the Yankees.
Okay, so now look, let me just say quickly, with regard to the division race, it's still in the Red Sox hands. They have a 3-game lead. They're in overall, they're in pretty good shape with 2 weeks to go. But it doesn't feel like quite the slam dunk it felt like a while ago. And I would say with regard to the Red Sox, that Friday night was absolutely positively freaking huge. Huge. The Yankees won. The Red Sox were on the verge of losing in Tampa to make it a 2-game lead. And I don't know about you, Marshall, or yep. You, Jimmy, but for some reason, the difference between 2 and 3 sounds astronomical to me. Like with 3, I start to feel like you still get a little wiggle room. You can lose one. At 2, I start to feel like they're breathing down your necks. I don't know if it's just me or what, but that's
well,
the way I feel.
3 is a series, right? You could get swept, and they would have to sweep in an entire series to tie it up. 2, yeah, that can come and go with a game.
I just 2 is 1 game per week, and then all of a sudden, there you go. And, you know, Jimmy, I haven't reviewed the tie-breaking procedures, but if the Red Sox and Yankees end up tied, don't the Yankees win the division because they won the head-to-head?
That sounds right, although the Fenway Green Monster will have the Red Sox ahead.
It's a good point. Yeah, they do tend to mess with those standings out of Fenway Park. So, in any case, I want to ask people there, I don't think this thing's over yet, is the short answer. As much as I would like to believe that and tell you that I have great faith in the Red Sox and you should not be surprised by this, I don't. And the fact that David Price is now in that bullpen does not make me feel that much better about David Price or the Red Sox. I still don't know what Price is. I need to see some things over the final 2 weeks here. It would make me feel a hell of a lot better about all involved parties, individually and collectively, with regard to the Red Sox. It would make me feel a hell of a lot better if they played good baseball here in the final 2 weeks. They had a hell of a streak here. Was it the beginning of this month or end of last? Where they played absolutely fabulous baseball, and I need to tell you, the Indians outdid everybody. But I would like to see the Red Sox play some good baseball here down the stretch, and I would especially like to see them settle into some areas and answer some questions, which we're going to get to in the next segment. I said at the beginning of the program tonight that if you listen to this show regularly, you'll know that I was out last week. We lost my mother on September 10th. And I will not take you through all the details other than to tell you that she had had or suffered from congestive heart failure for 23 years. And in the last 8 and a half, it got extremely difficult, especially for my dad. So my father took tremendous care of her, and if there was a Hall of Fame for husbands and fathers, particularly husbands, to go into after taking care of their wives in the final days of their lives, my dad would be a slam-dunk unanimous ballot. He was absolutely Herculean in taking care of my mother over the last 8 and a half years. And none of us, my sisters, myself, could ever thank him enough for that. He was just absolutely relentless in taking care of her. And it is a big loss for him. It's a big loss for us. And I don't often get into a lot of my background on this show or on the afternoon show, for that matter. And honestly, it's because I think most people don't really care. And I don't say that as a criticism. We're all from somewhere. We all have parents. And in most cases, the large majority of cases, we all lose them at some point. And the real tragic ones, obviously, are oftentimes where they lose us before we lose them. So I will tell you that what I will tell you is this, that my parents have been together their entire lives. They grew up together. My parents are immigrants. And I know Felger touched on some of this last week, but they taught us the value of family, of hard work, of loyalty to one another. And nobody has ever done a better job demonstrating all of those than my mother and father, and particularly my father to my mother over the final years, weeks, and months of her life. Like they say, when you take the vow, in sickness and in health. And my father lived true to those words till the very end. My mother wanted to die at home. We got her home at 1 o'clock on Sunday the 10th. And within 3 hours, she had stopped breathing. So that was a significant goal of ours, to get her home. And the outpouring of support and expressions of condolences and what have you that I personally received and that my family received over the last week meant a great deal to us. Starting with the people here at 98.5, my partner in the afternoon, Mike Felger, on more than one occasion said some very gracious and complimentary things about my family on the air. It meant a great deal to my father. I will be forever indebted to Mike for that. Murray stepped in seamlessly, filled in for me. They all showed up. Every guy that works on this on the afternoon show showed up last Thursday at my mother's funeral. And I'll leave you with this to just say quickly that when I got into radio full time 8 years ago now, I did not have the most positive impression of the industry based on what people had told me about how radio works, what radio companies were like, what radio stations were like. And I can only tell you that in 8+ years, the Sports Hub has been extremely different. Whatever, if the perception of radio out there is negative, I'll tell you that this place is nothing like that. And the a number of people from here, and then family and friends as well, who showed up to offer their support, was through the roof. And the number of you, the listeners, who sent emails, messages, direct messages on Twitter, text messages in some cases, for those of you who had access to my number, all of that were extremely well received. They meant a great deal to me, and I can't say enough about how considerate, compassionate, and empathetic and thoughtful you all were. So my sincere thanks to everyone here, and to all the listeners, and I know you want to get back to talking baseball, as do I.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Very. That was even more than personally anticipated. From the power to the touch and feel, I'm amazed that someone can pitch, haven't pitched in a game in nearly 7 weeks, and come out with that kind of command and throw three, four pitches for strikes. He's a unique pitcher, and that was really a strong two innings of work today.
You look at the numbers with Price and you say, wow, fabulous. All the way across, looks terrific. He jumped right in, didn't skip a beat. Jimmy Stewart, do you feel that Price was, the numbers are an accurate representation of what Price was yesterday?
No, I do not.
Marshall,
they were not accurate.
I was going to ask Marshall, but he was painting his house or whatever the hell he was doing, so you didn't see it, did you?
I did not see
it. It's okay if you didn't see it, Marshall. I will tell you this.
We did listen to that one on the radio.
Okay, swinging a pop-up.
So I'll tell you this about Price, okay? I am presuming at this stage that he's going to be on the playoff roster. I don't know that for certain. I'm not sure the Red Sox know that for certain. I think they're going to do their damnedest to get him on there because they think that they can use him in a key spot somewhere and that with his stuff that he'll be able to get somebody out in a key moment. I'm going to tell you that with David Price, I am not 100% convinced yet. First of all, I don't think he was anywhere near as good as the numbers yesterday. He was, all things considered, pretty good. Don't get me wrong. But he threw one pitch in particular that I remember thinking he didn't know where the hell that ball was going. I mean, it was wild. It was really wild. And when I say really wild, I don't mean that it sailed to the backstop and hit the moose. I mean that he wasn't anywhere close to the target. And with a guy coming off of injury, what you're going to see more than anything is loss of command. Okay, or the guy dealing with what he's been dealing with all year, loss of command. So let's see how it shakes out. Price threw 94, I think it was yesterday. He hit 94. I'm not sure that that is really the best measure. I just also want to ask this question, too, because someone said this on the afternoon program today, that the best thing that could happen is David Price will come back, pitch well next year, and then leave via free agency. Do you guys think that, and again, let me ask the listeners, if you think David Price is going to come back and pitch well next year, I think you are delusional. And when I say that, I mean that I am convinced he is going to have surgery as soon as the season is over. I think that they skipped surgery this year to try to get what they could out of him. They're getting something out of him. But then after the year, he's getting cut. And you're not going to see him again until 2019. The only question is whether you see him in Boston or whether he actually opts out and hits the market again. Now, I have a hard time believing David Price is going to walk away from 4 years and $120 million on his contract when he's coming off of surgery. But if he doesn't have surgery this offseason, I'll be surprised. Because I think this thing's inevitable. I think Price is going to have surgery, and I think that they were able to manage it in such a way that they got him to September 18th without having it yet, which in and of itself is a miracle. But when this is over, I think he misses it with the idea of misses next year, has surgery, misses next year, and is back with the idea of pitching again in 2019. That is my 2 cents on Price. I want to get to Rafael Devers, too, which we'll do in a minute. But Nick is in Wakefield. We'll kick off our calls tonight. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Maz. Wanted to say sorry for your loss. Want to talk about David Price. Will someone give him a chance, please? I mean, will you support him for once? I want him to get back in the rotation. I want him to be there for the playoff rotation. One start, give the guy a chance. If he blows up, screw him. You know, you tried. I do think the Red Sox, how I feel about the Red Sox, I think they're all right. But they'll get in the playoffs, and then they'll lose no matter who you play first round.
Okay, so, Nick, I'm not convinced of that because I think if the Red Sox play at their absolute best and someone else doesn't, and we see that in the postseason all the time, they can win a round. Hell, they could go to the World Series. I rule out, no, there is talent on this team, and their front-end pitching is pretty good. And that's assuming that Sale is pitching at a level that he is capable of pitching at, and that Pomeranz continues to go like he has gone for the majority of the year. Their bullpen pitches well. Now, there's a million things that have to go right. But they're not a bad team. Can we eliminate that? Like this idea that they're somehow bad, or they're not bad, they're good. They're a good team. The problem right now is that you have a Houston team that played historically good baseball at the beginning of the year and a Cleveland team that's playing historically good baseball at the end of the year, a team in the Dodgers in the National League, not that you're looking that far down the road, but they were playing historically well during the middle of the season. So you've got good teams around the game this year, and maybe the American League's a little better than we thought. Because that Cleveland team, boy, what a run. What a phenomenal run. But if the Red Sox are hitting, well, then absolutely they can win. Now, look, again, I'm telling you, I don't think this thing's over yet. I'm not sure you have the division wrapped up yet. Ask me tomorrow if the lead is two and the Red Sox throw up on themselves in Baltimore tonight. But can they beat the Indians? Sure. Yeah, would I bet on it? No. But can they beat them? Sure they can beat them.
You know who thinks the division is over?
Who?
Joe Girardi.
Why do you say that?
According to a tweet from Andrew Marchand, Yankees manager Joe Girardi engaged in his usual verbal gymnastics, but it is evident the Yankees are finagling their rotation so ace Luis Severino will start a possible wild card game. Girardi publicly doesn't want to seem as if the Yankees are giving up on the division.
Hmm. Do you believe him?
I don't know. Or maybe that's just smart management.
So if you could, Marshall, for me, look up the last time Severino pitched, and we'll do the math, and I'll tell you what flexibility the Yankees have. Our buddy Ray is in Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Tony, nice tribute to your parents as a fellow Paisan. I want to thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you know, the Red Sox, I tell you, I think they can beat the Astros, and I actually believe that they're lucky that the Indians got hot because the Indians are an absolute juggernaut, and I just don't see where they could actually play with them. You know, for that matter, you say they can beat them, but, you know, right before the Indians went on the streak, the Red Sox roughed up Kluber and Carrasco, and nobody does that. And I think it might have had something to do with the pitch tipping stuff. So, you know, I don't think they can beat them straight up. And, you know, the way I look at the Red Sox, you know, I was on them for not going out and making free agent acquisitions. I really think they need to retool in the off season. And to your point, I agree with you. I think Price will get surgery. And I think where they've fallen down as an organization is they just haven't drafted well. Look at that Indians team. They're all homegrown. And in today's game, you really have to get these players under control, and you have to draft them. And, I'm a little worried that maybe Dombrowski is the right guy, but ultimately I don't think Sherrington, or for that matter, Epstein, ever really developed enough homegrown pitching, and I think that's their undoing right now.
Well, so look, Ray, when you're talking about the homegrown stuff, you got to go after Dombrowski as much as anybody. Dombrowski trades these guys off for more established players like nobody's business. Now, you want to talk about Theo and the pitching and Sherrington and the pitching? Certainly, look, there were criticisms to be made there. But I will tell you that in the middle there, the Red Sox did produce Lester, Papelbon. If you want to include him, and I'm not saying you should, I'm no fan, but he did pitch in the big leagues for a while, Buchholz. Okay, so was there a relative shortage? Sure. I mean, to me, one of the real criticisms of Theo was the fact that they didn't produce power hitters. Generally speaking, when the Red Sox needed a power hitter, they had to go out and get it. They didn't have it inside. The one guy you could say that, maybe Rizzo, that they produced, but ultimately he didn't really pan out until someone way down the line, and for someone else. So, you can go at Theo and Sherrington, listen, by all means. I'm not going to stop you. Your comment line said that you wanted the Red Sox to have pitching in the offseason, and honestly, I'm done with them going out and spending on pitching. So, I don't know, maybe you're talking about a trade, but they just gave up a couple of big prospects and making the sale deal. The Red Sox, to me, if I'm making a move this offseason, I'm going for a power bat. I am absolutely going for a power bat, because I don't think there's any question that they have a major need there. Which brings me to Rafael Devers and a very interesting item today on BostonGlobe.com by Alex Spear of the Boston Globe. We'll get to that after Marshall Hook. Get you caught up on headlines.
The baseball reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions. That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
When he gets maybe a string of games, you start to see that maybe the footwork slows a little bit, and it starts to become a little bit more apparent that a day down could be helpful. You got to keep in mind that this is his first experience at a sixth month of baseball in September. He's 20 years of age, so some things that he's experiencing for the first time. So we'll look to freshen him up in the middle part of this week.
How do you guys feel about Rafael Devers right now? And I ask you that as a fan. I also asked Marshall and Jimmy Stewart quickly again. How do you guys feel about Devers right now? Have you been paying attention?
Well, he's obviously in a dip. He's not keeping up the pace that he could before. But
dip? Dip is one word for it. Go ahead.
Dip. But, I mean, honestly, did you expect him to keep up the pace he was playing at before? I don't think that anyone truly expected that. Now, has he gone too far the other direction? Perhaps. Probably. But I still like him in there over who?
Okay, so this brings me to the question, Marshall, that Alex Spear asked on BostonGlobe.com today. And it is something worth talking about. Look, I'm with you. I'm going with Devers, and something tells me the Red Sox are too. But Alex Spear writes in the Globe, and I'll read you the headline, and I know Alex Spear didn't write the headline. Can the Red Sox stick with Rafael Devers in the postseason? Okay, that's what he writes. Now, look, I guess if you really wanted to think about it, Bogaerts hits, Pedroia hits, and he can play second base. You can put Nunez at third. You don't have to play Devers. Okay, you don't have to play him. So, Alex Spear of the Globe writes, over his past 26 games, Devers has faced a dramatically altered plan of attack. Now, before I even get to that, Jimmy Stewart, I'm going to put you on the spot. Marshall's not here every night, so I've got to ask you. Okay? I'm going to put you on the spot. In talking about Devers, do you remember how I said I would pitch him if I'm an opposing team? Do you remember this discussion at all? You may not. It's okay if you didn't.
Inside part of the plate, down and in?
Okay. I said hard and in. Hard and in. Right? He clearly wants to hit the ball to the opposite field. I mean, that has been apparent since the day he got here. And he's belting balls over that left field wall. So what do you do? And then you say, well, you throw him down and in. He hits it into the bullpen. Yes, if it's a breaking pitch. But ideally, you really want to kind of go in on his hands. Okay, hard in. And you know what? I'll take down and in, too. Not down at his shoot tops.
So I'm right.
A bit at his knees, but hard inside. Okay, so here's what Alex Spear of the Globe, again, of the Globe wrote today. Over his past 26 games, Devers has faced a dramatically altered plan of attack. After the rookie answered questions about whether he could handle pitches away, he has yet to offer the same rebuttal to questions about whether he can handle elevated fastballs, particularly those on the hands. Now, I think it's less about the elevated part and more about the on the hands part. Look at the guy's swing, watch his approach at the plate. What do you do? Fastballs in. Pound him inside. Fastballs in. Over and over and over again till he turns on those things and starts ripping them into the right field corner so often or ripping them into the seats that you have no choice but to change again. And to me, I haven't seen it. Spear goes on. With an 0-for-3 performance that included a strikeout in Sunday's loss, Devers has now gone 26 straight games without a home run. You listening, Marshall?
I hear you.
This is your dip. 26 straight games without a homer. During that span, he's batting .224, on base of .283, slugging of .286.
That's not good.
A lack of production that, in combination with the 7 errors he's committed, has turned third base back into an area of deficiency for the Red Sox. So what Alex Spear is telling you is that over the last month, 26 games, Rafael Devers has been as bad as every other third baseman the Red Sox have had out there. So I'm going to ask you guys a question again. Come postseason, if it is what it is right now, are you playing Devers or are you doing something else? Jimmy? Marshall?
I'm playing Nunez.
Boy, you were a hard sell. That didn't take very long.
Well, I'd rather play Nunez at shortstop, realistically, but Bogarts has been better than Devers.
Okay, Marshall, what about you?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely playing Nunez somewhere. So if he's the odd man out and Dustin Pedroia is healthy, who's my DH in this scenario? Well, is it Hanley Ramirez? Because I don't want that.
So you don't want a Hanley in there either?
I'd rather shuffle it out and keep Devers in there and just have Hanley Ramirez, you know, float off to the Never Never Land where he belongs.
Okay, so Hanley's part of this equation too. And the Red Sox have I don't want to say a numbers issue because that makes it sound like, you know, there isn't enough space to play all these good players. But Farrell is going to have some choices here. Now, if it's me, I just think that Spear raised an interesting question today in the Globe. Again, he asked a question. Can the Red Sox stick with Rafael Devers in the postseason? Because over the last month, Devers has been good. So I want to take you back to what Farrell said here about Devers before the game. We just played this for you a minute ago. But now, after reading Spear, here is what Farrell said when asked about Rafael Devers and his struggles.
When he gets maybe a string of games, you start to see that maybe the footwork slows a little bit, and it starts to become a little bit more apparent that, you know, a day down could be helpful. You got to keep in mind that this is his first experience at a sixth month of baseball in September. He's 20 years of age, so some things that he's experiencing for the first time. So we'll look to freshen him up in the middle part of this week.
Okay, so when Farrell says it the way he says it, especially at the end there, we're going to look to fresh him up here a little bit. Well, that tells me they're not going to sit him. I'm not sure they're even considering it. Maybe they are. I mean, again, Alex Spear is pretty connected to that organization. So it makes you wonder where they're going to go here and whether or not they certainly have options. I mean, when you weigh it out, you can put Nunez in so many different spots. Third base is one of them. If Bogarts is hitting, you play Bogarts here, play Nunez at third, you play Pedroia at second, you could DH Hanley, you got plenty of choices. Mitch Moreland at first base, and you play all those guys and you get good players at every spot, or good enough. So you say, fine, I can go that route. And yet, given the way Farrell presented that, we're looking to freshen him up. I'm not sure Farrell would come out and say that they're going to bench the guy right out of the gate, but the Red Sox need him. They need Devers. They need the left-handed power. They need it. They got to have him in there. In fact, again, I come back to that whole thing. When they were playing well, Benintendi was hitting and Devers was hitting. When they were at their best, Benintendi maybe especially because he's a little more advanced and a little older now. They're going to need to get production from the left side. Let's go back to your call. 617-779-0985. John is in Newton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony, so this whole conversation is just evidence that this team is not built to go deep in the postseason. You know, we're scrambling around to try to find pieces and parts here. You know, Devers is a great player, but, you know, this always happens with rookies. Once they figure out how to pitch him, then they got to, you know, readjust. And so, you know, we're sitting here going, well, who's going to play third base in the postseason? Teams like that don't go deep.
Okay, so, John, look, generally speaking, I would agree with you. I'd say that, especially if you have too many of those spots. But,
yeah.
Okay. How many spots did the Cleveland Indians platoon last year in the playoffs, and how'd you feel about their chances going in?
Well, I don't know the answer to the first question, but I thought we were going to beat them, and we got our hats handed to us.
Okay, so there you go, and this is what I'm telling you. And listen, I'm not sitting here telling you that I think the Red Sox are going to win. I'm just telling you that in the playoffs, everything kind of changes. I think that over the longer term, sometimes, if you don't have enough horses, it really catches up to you. But in the short term, nobody thought Cleveland was going anywhere last year. They went to Game 7 of the World Series and almost won the damn thing without a starting rotation. The 1988 Dodgers, and now I'm going back a ways. I'm not telling you that this is a certainty or a likelihood because I don't think it is. But if you want to go back to 88, look up the Dodgers. Tell me who was in that lineup. They sucked. They won because of one guy and one guy only. And that was Oral Hershiser. That was it. He carried them. They had a starting pitcher who was white hot, and he carried them through the whole year, really. So it's not impossible. Now, again, I didn't tell you it was likely. I'm just telling you that you get into the postseason, and all of a sudden a couple of guys get hot and everything changes. Okay, some of those San Francisco Giants teams were not all that great during the regular season. The last title the Giants won, they finished last in the majors in home runs. Last.
This is going to be Doug Fister's year.
Now, they play in a pitcher's park, the Giants do, and they had good starting pitching. The Red Sox have a couple of good starters. What if Pomeranz and Sale really get on a roll? Like, look, I rule out nothing in the playoffs. Okay, I rule out nothing. I have questions about the Red Sox, too, and, you know, as we go down the stretch here, we're going to hear more and more of them, especially when we find out who they're going to play and whether it's the Indians or the Astros. Okay, because to me, I'd rather face Houston if I'm the Red Sox. I want nothing to do with the Indians.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions. That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.